You can see the title of my lesson this morning is The Call of God, and we're going to do most of our studying from 1 Samuel chapter 3 and mainly focus on verses 1 through 10, and we will read a little bit of some of the other verses in that chapter, but that's going to be our main focus if you want to turn over there, but we'll have our scriptures on the board. But you know, as I was putting this lesson together and I was thinking about that call of God, I was kind of reminded of myself when I was younger and a different kind of call that I would hear. But because when I was in a kid in the mornings, I was not a morning person at all, and I really struggled to get out of bed. In the mornings, my mother would come in, and thank goodness she would wake me up, and she would say, "Scott, it's get up time," and she was the embodiment of cheerfulness and sunshine. And I mean, I was a grouch, and I would growl, and I'd say, "Go away," you know, or something like that, something not very nice. And she'd go away, and I would like get back in my covers because I didn't want to get back up, and I'd burrow down even further. And then about 5 minutes later, she'd say I wasn't up. She'd come back in there, and she'd open the door, and she'd say, "Scott, you know, time to get up." And she was still super sweet, and I was still really mean and grouchy. And I think she'd walk away a little bit disappointed that I wasn't very nice and chipper in the mornings like she was. But then she'd come back again, and we'd do it again. And thank goodness, and finally I would get up. And, you know, despite me being grouchy and not being very sweet to her in the morning, when she'd come in there to wake me up, she would come back the next day, and she would do it all again. And, you know, I'm thankful for that because I don't know what I would have done. I probably wouldn't have done very well. I know I would have eventually adjusted, but I know initially I probably would have been late to school a lot of days. So I was thankful for, you know, her patience in doing that. And as we kind of look at the story today a little bit, we're going to see a lot of patience, too, from God. And we're going to see someone with a much better response when God called them than me, when my mom called me in the morning when I was just a grouch. And that's kind of what I want us to think about is, you know, how are we answering God's call? And do we hear him when he calls? Do we recognize his voice? You know, and do we know when he calls us? Remember how Philip answered when Christ called him? If I can get the... Oh, wrong way. When Christ called Philip in John 1:43, he said, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there be," and jumping down to verse 46, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, Come and see." So a situation here, he was called. Not only did he respond positively to that call, but he went and he grabbed somebody else and he said, "Hey, come with me. Let's go and see." Because we know that God wants us to listen. We know that he wants his people to listen. That has been something that he has always wanted and always shown us throughout the scriptures. Matthew 11:15 says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Jeremiah 10:1, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel." Deuteronomy 5:1, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them." Obviously, God wants us to hear and learn and understand his word. He's always wanted that. He wants us to be his people, and he wants to be our God. And the Bible is such an important thing for us to study. And we are fortunate in our day and age that we have God's word laid out perfectly for us. All we have to do is open it up, and it speaks to us, and it works in our lives, and it calls to us. We just have to listen. And so many people in the world say that they want a sign from God, and they want to see a miracle, and they're just not looking in the right place. Because the signs and the miracles, they're all right here. Everything like that is already right here and been done for us and laid out for us perfectly. You know, God spoke to Moses through a burning bush, and he spoke to Balaam through a donkey, but it's not like that for us. He speaks to us through his inspired word, which is the Bible. So kind of setting up the pictures, we're going to get into 1 Samuel 3. It's a little bit of a bleak time and a bleak picture. There's very little of God's word. There's very little prophecy. There's very little visions at this point in time. And I think it's also a reflection on the people, because God's people, they weren't looking for him. They weren't seeking his help. They weren't looking for that call. And they had kind of fallen into that cycle, which they did, where they were doing whatever they wanted, and then God would send a judge, and he'd come, and he'd help, and he'd correct the people, and they would fall back into the same thing where they were doing whatever they wanted eventually. And we need to make sure we don't fall into those traps in our lives. But God's people, they weren't answering the call in Judges 21:25. It said every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So they were doing whatever they wanted to, not answering that call. So the story that we're going to look at takes place in the temple, and the ark was there, and we have Eli there, and he's the high priest, and in this bleak time, he's aging as well, and the Bible tells us that his sight is going dim, and I think it seems like he's kind of turning his back and turning his eyes away from some of the problems in the world. So we see that his sight is not only dimming physically, but I think that his spiritual sight is dimming as well. And the Bible tells us that he turned a blind eye to a lot of the acts of his sinful sons, who were also priests, and they were very abusive in their station. Samuel 2 and 22 tells us, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And that's just a few of the things that they were doing as they abused the power that they were given. And we also know, we read in some earlier chapters, that at this point God has essentially already pronounced judgment on them and their time is going to come to an end very soon. Now as we set the story up, we also have Hannah. She's not exactly in the chapter we're going to be looking at, but she's a big part of it in a way because she was a faithful woman and she was barren. And there are a lot of examples of God using those situations in the Old Testament. But we know that Hannah, she prayed to God for a child and she was given Samuel. And in turn for that, she dedicated his life to God. And that's a big moment because Samuel marks a transition from a time in Israel when they were not hearing God's word at all to a time when God's word was going to start to come freely to all of the people. So it's a big transitional period. But we know that Hannah was faithful, and I said she dedicated Samuel to God. Samuel 2 and 18 says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with the linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So we have a situation with this loving family. They dedicated Samuel to God. And so he's a young boy. He's working at the temple at this time. We don't know exactly his age. Some historians, they think that he was probably 12, but it's not exactly known, and that's not totally pertinent for what we're doing, but that's just a guess. But we have this young boy who's working in the temple. So what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and read 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10, go through those, and then we're going to go back through them and kind of break them down. But I want to go through it once because it doesn't take long to read them and set up our story here. So beginning in verse 1, it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou dost call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. So we look at this scene, and to me, I love it. I mean, I just think it's so neat. We see Samuel, this young boy, who's just so eager, and he's not a grouch at all. You know, he jumps up and he runs in there every time, and he says, here am I. And he's ready, and he's eager, and he has a great heart. And I think about myself, if you were waking me up over and over, and then running down the hallway, and they're like, I didn't call you, go back to bed, I probably would have been mean. By the third time, I would have said, what are you doing, waking me up over and over? But he did not have that attitude at all, and I think it's really neat as we look at that and we see the heart that he had. So we're going to kind of go back in now and break it down a little bit and read through it again. And back in verse 1, it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So the story actually begins not with God's call, but really with God's silence. And as I said, the people of Israel, they were not really in a good way at this time. And it's a perfect example of what can happen in our lives when God's word is not there. Because that's what they were doing, essentially. They were ignoring God's word, and they were in a difficult time. Well, the same thing happens with us when we don't have God's word in our lives. If we're not delving into it daily, we're going to start to struggle. Our faith is going to weaken. We're going to lose sight of what is right. We're going to lose sight of what is important. So it's so very, very important that we're delving into it daily. Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And that's kind of the situation that they were in there. But despite that, despite kind of the dark situation, we have Samuel, this boy who's in there, not really even knowing what he's doing, and he's got that great attitude, and he's doing his duty in the temple. In verse 2, it says, and it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. So again, we're reminded, we talked a little bit earlier, that at Eli, with his failing physical and spiritual vision. Remember at an earlier time, Samuel 1, actually in that chapter, we see a situation with Hannah when she was at the temple praying, if you may remember this, she was on the steps praying, and she was praying silent to herself, but her lips were moving, and Eli saw her, and he immediately just assumed that she was drunk, which she wasn't. And then, of course, there's the situation with his sons. We mentioned he continues to fail, turning a blind eye to all the abuses that they're doing of their priestly duties. But one thing I do want to take notice of in this scene, which I think is really neat, is the lamp of God has not yet gone out. That's what that air, the lamp of God, when that means it has not gone out yet. So remember, we got this scene. The priests were required to keep the lamps lit from evening until morning. So that kind of sets this up. We can place the time probably at late at night, not too long before dawn, because the lamps are still lit, but they haven't gone to bed yet, or they're going to bed. So what we see there, the lamp of God hasn't gone out yet, so we have a sliver of hope. It's a spiritually dark time for the children of Israel, but I think this shows us God has not given up on his people, because that lamp of God has not yet gone out. And from this dark period, God's going to call Samuel, and he's going to go on to be a very, very active prophet and do a lot of things and be an anointer of kings. So something else I want to take note of as we look at this is I think it's important to see where Samuel is. He's someone who's going to be faced with this call from God soon. So let's see where he is. He is laid down in the temple. He is in a godly place. He is exactly where he needed to be. So I want us to think about that in our lives. Where are we at? Where are we spending our time? Where are we placing ourselves, kind of literally and figuratively? Are we putting ourselves in places to hear God's word? Are we spending time at church? Are we spending time with godly people? Are we spending time studying God's word? Are we going to God in prayer daily? We need to make sure that we are in the right place. So let's continue on reading in verse 4. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." So, I mean, I love it. Again, we see Samuel, and he's just ready. He's ready to be there. He's alert, you know, and he probably knows, or I mean, he obviously knows that Eli's older and he can't see very well, so he's probably ready to jump up and be of assistance and help him. He's responsive, and he's ready to help. And he says, "Here am I." But the thing is, he had it wrong, didn't he? He didn't really know what to do. He didn't recognize the voice that was calling him, and he didn't know that it was God calling him. And why was that? Verse 7, it says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." So we have this obedient boy in Samuel, this eager guy who's ready to serve, has a good heart, but he didn't know God's word yet. And the thing is, we can look around us, and there's a lot of people in the world that are looking for something. They are eager, they have a good heart, they have good intentions, but a lot of times they answer the wrong call. They need someone to teach them God's word. They need people in their lives to be good examples. And the people that they come in contact with need to be good examples for them. And you know, also, there's kids growing up in godly homes and wonderful environments like Samuel here was, but they still have to be taught God's word too. They still have to learn to recognize God's call when they hear it. And they still have to learn to make that decision to serve and obey and to say, "Here am I," when the opportunity presents itself. You know, even Eli didn't recognize that it was God calling Samuel. Just another example kind of how Eli wasn't necessarily so spiritually focused. And the thing is, a lot of times we get unspiritually focused. You know, we live in a loud and busy and distracting world. And we often have a lot of things going on in our lives. And we're so distracted, we don't hear God's call. Maybe the TV's turned up too loudly. We're buried in our phones. We're hanging out with people that maybe aren't the best influences on us, or we're super focused on school, super focused on work, super focused on baseball practice, and whatever worries we have in our lives, you know, and we're on the couch watching Netflix, and we know we ought to be studying the Bible, or we know we ought to be sending someone a card, or calling someone that is sick, or coming up here and helping with knocking doors. So we're hearing that call, but we're not answering. You know, we feel it in the back of our thoughts, we feel it in our hearts, but sometimes we ignore it and kind of pretend like we don't hear it. And maybe there's guilt nagging us at us, but we block it out. God's word tells us what we ought to be doing, but we're not necessarily listening. James 1 and 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And James 4 and 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." That's something that can so easily happen to us. We get so caught up in the things going on that we don't hear that call from God every day in our lives. Let's continue on in, in verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Excuse me. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou hast called me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. So finally, Eli realizes that it's God calling Samuel. So Eli's not all bad. We know that he has not been malicious in a lot of things he did. You know, he did bless Hannah at one point, and God recognized it in 1 Samuel 2 and 20. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own home. And we know that she went on, she bore 5 children and was a very godly woman. Eli also rebuked his sons at different times. A lot of times it was just too little, too late maybe. But it seems we have a situation here where Eli is almost given a second chance in a way, I think, with Samuel. And he's really trying to do right by Samuel and raise Samuel right and be a good example for him, I think. So he does kind of have a little bit of a second chance with him. And he has some very, very good advice here for Samuel whenever he realizes that God is calling him. And I want to take a look at that. Remember, therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So he has wonderful advice here, and let's break that down. First, what does he say to him? He says, "Go lie down." So he's telling him, be ready. Be ready and available for God. Be in the place that you need to be. Be receptive. Don't go wander off. Don't go get distracted. Don't go involved. Go and get involved in something else. Go lie down. Be ready and available for God. And then next he says, "And it shall be if he call thee." So he's basically saying, don't try to force it. Don't think you know what God's going to do and plan ahead for that specifically. Wait for him patiently. Don't try to direct him the direction that you want your life to go. Don't force it. Wait for it patiently. Then he says, "That thou shalt say, Speak, Lord." So respond to the word of God. Whatever he says, whatever he's wanting you to do, be ready, and be ready to respond to that word and be respond to what's going on in that situation. And then he says, "For thy servant heareth." And that's one of the most amazing parts to me, because he's saying there, humble yourselves, listen to God's word, the servant heareth. A servant is someone who is going to obey. So he's saying to him, listen and obey, isn't he? For thy servant heareth. Because we can hear God's word all day long. We can read it. We can hear preachers. We can have godly friends giving us good advice. But if we're not humbling ourselves to it, if we're not trusting in it, if we're not opening our hearts to it, it's not going to do a thing in our lives. This verse also shows us a couple other things, that sometimes we need other people to help us understand God's word. We need people willing to teach us sometimes. We need people willing to be good examples for us. We need people willing to help us hear God's call. Because, you know, one thing to think about, up until now, Samuel had also been looking to Eli for authority. Whenever he heard this call, that's who immediately he turned to. That's immediately who he thought of. That's immediately who he ran to. He went to Eli. But there comes a time in every one of our lives that we have to look to God for the authority. The decisions we make in our lives, we have to take those things to God above our family, above our parents, above our friends. That's the choice that we all have to make, a realization that we all have to make at some point in our lives. But looking at that, now Samuel has a chance here to respond to God. Let's see what he does. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." I love that. I mean, what a beautiful line. "Speak, for thy servant heareth." That is the attitude that we need to have every day of our lives in everything that we do. When we open the Bible to study, I hope that we are saying, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." When we are listening to a sermon, that's the attitude that we need to have. When we're going to God in prayer, we need to say, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Beautiful response, a response that I hope that we all have. There's something else to me that's very interesting that I want to point out as we look at this. This is the first time God is speaking to Samuel. If you notice, he calls Samuel's name twice here when he says, "Samuel, Samuel." Now, there's only a few other times in the Bible when God does that, when he calls someone's names twice. And it's usually signifying something different, something big, some type of transition, that something is about to happen. He did it with Moses. In Exodus 3 and 4, and he said, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him to out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. And this is where we know he goes on to tell Moses that he's going to take them out of the hand of the Egyptians. He's going to take them to the promised land and give them that freedom. He did it with Abraham as well in Genesis 22 and 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And we know this is where he goes on to bless and promise to Abraham that all nations were going to be blessed from his seed. So these were big moments, big transitional moments. He also did it with Jacob when he was headed back into Egypt with his family. He did it with Simon Peter when they were at the Last Supper, if you remember, and he's telling him, you're going to deny me three times. He says to him twice there, Simon, Simon. He does it to Martha when she is scolding Mary, remember when they're at dinner? And he does it to Saul on the road to Damascus. And he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And these are all significant events. And I think here it's the same thing. It's signifying that Samuel is going to go on. He's going to become a prophet. There's going to be a lot of God's word available. And this is the first time he's speaking to him. So it's a big transitional period for the Jews as well. But looking at that answer, this wonderful answer to me implies several things. First, obviously, that we have to have an open heart, ready to embrace God's word, and hopefully studying it and looking for it. And it also says, as I mentioned earlier, the part about the servant. As a servant, that implies that we are going to obey. That's what servants do. And for us, that means even if we may not entirely understand the plan, even if we don't necessarily see the big picture, because that's going to happen all the time, especially if we're trusting in God, even if it's not necessarily what we wanted to hear, a servant obeys. And like he says, we need to hear and obey. Luke 11, 28 and 28 says, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Because we're not always going to know the big picture. We're not always going to understand what we're doing. But we need to make sure that we are hearing and listening and answering that call and obeying. So now we're in a situation where finally Samuel realized God was speaking to him, right? He says, oh, this is God, and he wants to hear. But I think the message he's going to get isn't necessarily what he was probably hoping for, what he was expecting. So let's take a look at what God says to Samuel, beginning in verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I'll perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. So God gives Samuel this message, but it's a difficult message to deliver. Probably not what he was hoping for. And if we look at it here, we see that God whispers the message to Samuel so that he can in turn go out and share it with others. That's the same thing that God does with us. He speaks to us through his word, and he expects us to go out and share it with others. Even though sometimes it is difficult, and sometimes it is uncomfortable, like it was about to be for Samuel and Eli. Because here, basically, God is confirming the condemnation he already told Eli, that their family involved in the priesthood is going to come to be an end, and basically they're going to come to an end very, very soon. So we have Samuel, who is a young boy, 12 years old, hearing God for the first time, is given this difficult burden to deliver this message to someone who is also his mentor, the person who's been taking care of him. So what is he going to do? Is he going to turn around and run like Jonah? Verse 15 says, and Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. I mean, can't you picture that? It doesn't say he went to sleep. It says he lay until morning, probably lay in there thinking about it, twiddling his fingers, thinking, oh man, oh boy, I got to go tell and deliver this message. In verse 16, then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son, and he answered, here am I. Still goes with that here am I attitude. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. So what we see here, honestly, is a perfect example of giving and receiving God's word. Because Samuel had a bit of a difficult message. But the thing was, he knew that it was God's truth, so he didn't hold back from it. And Eli, you know, who I've been picking on a little bit, surprisingly, he has a very right response. He accepts God's word, even though it's something obviously very difficult that is not positive for him. And what does he say? He says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good." So this is exactly how we need to teach God's word, hiding nothing, leaving nothing out, even the difficult parts. Because we can't just preach on the fun stuff, the positive stuff that everybody wants to hear, because we could look around the world and there's a lot of preachers and there's a lot of denominations here in this city that's what they do. But they're really misleading their people. They're not preparing their people. They're not teaching them the truth, and it's not going to be good for them down the way. And Acts 20:26 says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And that's the thing. We can't just pick and choose what we want to teach, what we want to share with others. We have to teach the message, and we have to teach the truth. So pulling some lessons out of this real quick. Number one, God speaks us through his inspired word. We know 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." That is God's inspired word, and we need to be listening for it, looking into it, and studying it every day. Like Samuel, we also need to be in the right place, like he was in the temple. We need to be in the right place to hear God's word, at church, with godly people, studying God's word, being in the right place, and being prepared with the desire to hear God's word. Samuel was 12 years old and didn't know what he was doing, but he was working and he was trying. We can't hear if our ears are closed or we are distracted. And we know that sometimes that we are not hearing God's word well. We aren't listening to it because we're letting things in life get between us and studying God's word. And there are so many distractions that can keep us from answering that call and doing the things that we need to do. So we can't hear if we're letting our eyes be closed or ears be closed or we are distracted. Sometimes we need help from others, just like they did here. Sometimes, like Samuel, we need instruction. We need people to help us understand God's word. Even Eli didn't recognize that it was God until the third call. So sometimes we get sluggish in our spiritual life as well, and we need a little bit of a reminder. We need a little bit of a help. And think about Eli's sons who were priests, and they were totally ignoring God's word. They were doing whatever they wanted. They were, in fact, abusing the opportunity that they were given. So sometimes we need help from others. We need people to teach us God's word and point it out to us. Also, we can see from this that God is patient with us. He came back to Samuel 4 times. And if we approach the Bible with a sincere and open heart, we're going to get it. It may take us a few times, but we need to keep coming back to it. We need to keep studying it. We need to have that desire. And if we do, we're going to understand it. We're going to start to grow in our faith, our strength, our understanding, our desire, our ability to resist temptations, and it will change your life. Something like we need to recognize, like they did, that God is the main authority in our lives. When we have a decision to make, we have things troubling us, we don't turn to Eli. We need to make sure that we are turning to God. As Samuel was God, not Eli, that he needed to go to. And then we need to have the attitude that Samuel had, where he said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And everything we do, when we study, when we're in prayer, when we don't know what God wants us to do or how we can help, we still need to have this attitude. "Speak, for thy servant heareth." We need to humble ourselves and open our hearts to God's word, pray to him, and then also the obey part, as a servant does. God teaches us the word, and then we need to share it with others. Like he told Samuel, and then Samuel in turn shared it with Eli, we need to be willing to do the same things, all of it, even when it's difficult, and some things that we know people don't necessarily want to hear. And we need to in turn receive God's word, just like Eli did. When he said, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good." Meaning we have to trust in God's word, believe in it, no matter what the message is. Because the thing is, if we're studying God's word, if we're holding it in our hearts, we're meditating on it, we're thinking about it, we're continuing to do it daily, we're going to hear him call us every single day. That call to action is always coming from God's word to serve. We just need to make sure that we are listening and we are delving ourselves into that word every day in places we need to be to hear it and focusing on it.